from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
All right, we'll see. We'll see what Bobby Slowick has to say right off the practice field with not the best day by the offense. Great day by the defense. At least three picks, two by Derek Stingley, including a pick six, and an update perhaps on Titus Howard, who left the field on a cart. Bobby Slowick.
Seemed like today, maybe a little frustration setting in on the offense. What did you kind of make the practice today?
Yeah, we were rolling pretty good yesterday. And really, for the last couple of days, we've had some good days of stacking things together. Today was tough with the elements. The balls got pretty slick as practice went on, which I think was evident, and you could see. But it was good training for us. Houston's just different as far as the heat goes, but we don't deal with the wet conditions as often as I feel like you do in some other places. So it's really good training for us. Just how to adjust to that. Receivers had to keep our feet, O linemen had to anchor, how we still want to approach the run game. We need it, and I think that showed today that the defense made the adjustment today and we didn't, and we will going forward.
What is your mindset when you have to go up against Matt Burke and Nico Ryan? It seems like sometimes they throw these little wrinkles at you when you call the plays.
Yeah, it's competitive, it's kind of all the way across the board, O line, D line, receivers, corners, tight ends, backers, backs, linebackers. Like it gets really competitive all the time. It always feels like it's a back and forth. The scheme wise with Burke and D'Amico, it kind of feels a little bit like who has a chalk last. He'll come out one day and we'll have some issues, and then we come out the next day and we have answers, and then it just endlessly cycles. But that's training camp. That's what makes it fun. That's what makes it competitive. That's what's really cool about just being able to hammer in and drill in your fundamentals. And that's really what training camp's about, is when you're on your fundamentals, it really, what I call, what D'Amico called, really doesn't matter.
Speaking of competition, you have your, what we like to consider the media to be three, D'Amico, Diggs, and Tank. You look at that second set of wide receivers, what's it going to take for some of those wide receivers, like John
Yeah, it really goes back to fundamentals. Guys that can go in and execute what we preach across the board in the pass game and the run game from the starting point fundamentally, then can go execute that in the game. And particularly if they can play multiple positions, which almost all of our backups can play multiple positions. It just helps get them on the field in different areas and different spots. And then how we approach it as an offense is we're always going to try to put people in the best position to do what they do best. So we're going to make sure guys are in for specific things that they're really good at. And if they're not necessarily great at something, we'll make sure that they got 100% in the tank when their play is called.
Yesterday you all had your best practice yesterday, or one of your best practices. And today, there were a few picks. What would you say were, I know it's early, some of the reasons for some of the struggles today?
Yeah, I just hit that. Sorry. You're all right. But, basically, today was we've stacked some good days. We've got back to executing, being efficient in both run and pass game. And then today, the defense, you know, the defense came out, they competed, and we competed, but we weren't quite as ready to handle the elements today. You know, it was wet, it was rainy. The balls got more difficult as practice went on, as far as how to grip them, how to throw them, how to take the snap, things like that. It got harder for the O linemen as practice went on to anchor, to fire off the ball. And like, we're going to play in games like this. You know, we need the training, we need the work. The defense adjusted faster and better than we did, and that's what we got to go in and we got to talk about, we got to fix.
You may have answered this question already, but what do you thought so far about Blake Fisher?
Yeah, he's out there competing, you know, just like the rest of the crew. That's, I mean, I think we say it endlessly, but I mean, we really preach that to the whole group just tirelessly. That's what this is about. It's about going out and every day growing and getting better than you were the day before. And by the time week one rolls around, we know we're going to be ready. But in the meantime, all we can do is get better every day. And Blake has done that. In pass pro, he particularly has made some technique adjustments that have helped him for sure. The rushers he's going against have helped him. I know he's had a lot of conversations with them on what they're thinking, what they're doing, and you know, talking to other old linemen has obviously helped him. And then the run game for us is just very different than where he came from college. But he's been doing a good job. He's bought in, and really right now I'd say he's probably a little further ahead in the run game than the pass game. But he's just got to put his head down and keep growing.
Time here without Joe in the running back room, what have the guys kind of made the most of their opportunities without him, with Damien and then Camp's come in the past couple weeks and kind of seems like he's fitting in with now? Well, what have you made of that?
Yeah, it's a fun group to coach. You know, Joe kind of leads the way, even though he hasn't been practicing. His energy is always there. He's always around. He's even when we're on the field, he's running around the huddle, getting people hyped up. You know, so he's the driving force for sure. And then the rest of the crew kind of feeds off that. You know, Damian's feeding off that. He's putting his head down, working. He's made huge strides from where he was at last year and what he's grown in and what he's trying to do. Cam is obviously the newest to the crew, but he's been running a lot of very similar stuff in LA for a long time, and then in Minnesota it was pretty similar as well, so it's not completely new to him, and he picked it up quick. You can see the talent and the vision and the cutting ability, you know, which is impressive coming off the two injuries he had. So he's been fun. We got the two young rookies, you know, that rookies are always enjoyable because they always just bring something new to the table. And then, you know, Dara and JJ, they're really probably the two most consistent guys. You know, day in, day out, they bring the lunch pail. And they're pretty even keel all the way through, and it's a fun group.
When you have a guy as young as established but still young like CJ, like what are the next things that you need or you want to see? Especially when I'm playing this preseason game right here, like what are the next steps that you want to see?
Yeah, same as everyone else. I just want to see him grow. You know, everybody has a whole lot that we could continue to get better at. We can continue to improve upon. And it could be something big that really affects the entire offense, or it could be something very small that's just for him individually. But every day we give out specific coaching points to individuals. Obviously, he gets a lot of those, and just focusing on those every day, emphasizing those every day, and just stacking good days right now is really huge for CJ.
Coach, a lot of the players that are coming into the second year under your offense, they've learned it more. They said they feel more comfortable. Now, how do you continue to implement new things throughout training camp and throughout the preseason without giving so much away to the opponent?
Yeah, truthfully, training camp and preseason, we kind of emphasize, I guess you could say, the starting point of our scheme. And that goes back to what I preached earlier about fundamentals and really hammering and drilling those in. Like in training camp, you're not always going to be in a great position to do what you need to do. I'm not always going to script a great play call for CJ to go and throw to number one. I might intentionally script a play where he has to get all the way to last in the progression as an outlet. Like, we want it to be hard. And they embrace that. They know that. There's days it gets frustrating for all of us, and there's days where, you know, we really are on our game and we go out and we perform like we believe we should, and we got to keep those. Just we got to get more consistent right now. That's what this is about. That's what scheme wise, that usually takes off, evolves as we go through the season. As coaches, you're always talking about ideas. You know, you kind of have a library as you go through the off season. Oh, this is a good way to do this. This is a nice new little wrinkle. But training camp, you're focused in on this is what we need to do every week, no matter what we're doing schematically to go win a game. Yeah, I've just been fired up to see him pick up right where he left off. You know, he's playing really fast. He's executing the routes really well. He's done everything we've asked him to do. He can run for days. You know, he embraces all phases of the game, whether it's receiver, returner, run game, all that stuff. I mean, he's all about it. He's been doing a great job. If he just keeps putting his head down and working, he's going to be where he wants to be.
As a collective receiver, what do you feel like? Obviously, you know, a lot of depth and guys that draw passes from you.
Yeah, I just answered this one also, but it's kind of it's a cool room. There's a lot going on. Obviously, as far as players we have there that can go perform, and you know, a lot of them right now are doing that, getting better every day, showing their best selves. You know, and it's our job when we get in season and when we get into preseason games to really make sure we're putting guys in position to go show that to everyone else. But we really know what each individual is really good at, and we need to keep stacking where we need improvement for each of those guys. And it's been fun to see so far.
Thanks, Bobby.
Yep, thanks.
All right, so they didn't, you noticed, I'm sure, didn't address Titus Howard. I probably shouldn't have expected it.
Yeah, I get it. That's something usually they ask the head coach.
They're going to ask the head coach. We'll get the update and share it with you as soon as we get it. But Titus Howard was down on the field, went to the medical tent, and ended up getting carted off the field. So we'll get you that. But a couple of things he said that I was just like, I don't know, the elements. There was a wet ball. It was a little rainy, and I don't know. I think he was just trying to figure out why the defense just dominated. Like, the defense just controlled the day-to-day for the Texans.
Yeah, and I get that's a valid excuse, but
yeah,
you're going to play some rainy
games. It rains in Houston, man.
Yeah.
We were out there 4 days in a row.
Yeah, and I get we play at NRG, but...
The water different in Cleveland? Tell me about it.
Nah, we seen a game in New York.
Yeah.
It was rainy and wet, too, mm-hmm. but... It didn't go well, and people don't ever bring this up. People always talk about the weather and the field and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Zach Wilson looked good that game. Like, I feel like we got to clean that up, man.
Yeah, no, look, I'm not buying that. I mean, I guess eventually if he says it enough times, people are going to start wondering about, you know, whether it's Stroud or the receivers and rainy weather. But they did it here, and they looked fine.
Yeah.
The first four, maybe five open practices were raining.
Yeah.
It was wet. I don't know. I'm going to go back to what I asked you guys earlier. And this is the good news. What if the defense is just really, really good? We expected a better defense. What if it's really good? Because this offense has weapons, man.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing. If mm-hmm. if the defense is this good, then I think that's a good thing because they won't be playing this defense every week.
Yeah.
So if they're good, I think that's a good thing. And I wouldn't really worry too much about the offense. I think mm-hmm. they got enough weapons where CJ can figure it out. I think he can figure it out.
Yeah, a couple of other things that he said that I thought were really interesting when he talked about. I mean, thank goodness Blake Fisher has been getting a lot of reps. Titus Howard, we mentioned, you know, who knows what that is. But he talked about Blake Fisher getting those reps against Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. And, you know, every day he's growing. His pass rushing, pass blocking is getting better. Like, all of a sudden, Blake Fisher, we were wondering why they even drafted him at some point. Yeah,
you said, thank goodness he getting them reps. Thank goodness they drafted him.
Thank you. Yeah, exactly.
Because I don't know if they would have signed a backup to...
not one like not this like with that. The upside.
Yeah, so, no, thank goodness they drafted him.
Yeah. And I don't know what to make of Joe Mixon, because we've seen this. Like, he was talking about how Joe leads the way. He's always around. He's firing up the team, even if he's not participating. And we've seen it, like, working out on the side with Laremy Tunsil and looking like he's 100%, but he's still not out there.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous about that, man. Yeah. I came front, and I know when week one comes, and if he's out there, then, you know, he going to ball out.
Yeah.
But I'm still a little worried about him not being out there yet, man. Mm-hmm. I get it. Laremy Tunsil ain't really out there either, but you got to be out there, man. Mm-hmm. It's just hard for me to think that they're just trying to save him for week one.
Yeah. And then the other thing he said that I thought was interesting. Now, this might have been a message, if I had to guess, to some of the other running backs in the room. He said the two most consistent running backs, probably. He said the two most consistent running backs are Dari Ogunbowale and Jawar Jordan. The undrafted, the sixth round pick, Jawar Jordan. The undrafted one was British Brooks. But, like okay. Like,
yeah,
these two didn't see it. Well, we saw Ogunbowale, but not a lot of Jawar Jordan.
Yeah, I can see Dari being on that list because he's always there. Like, no mm-hmm. matter what happens, he's there.
Yeah.
But, like I said, that's a little troubling, man. That's a little troubling. And to me, I'm a big fan of running back by committee. I get, or not running back by committee, but just multiple running backs on that team that could take over. I don't want Mixon as a workhorse, man. I want him in there splitting with somebody else that's really good too. And I feel like they depending on Joe Mixon a little too much, man.
Yeah.
Where, you know, if he end up getting hurt, then we're going to be leaning on somebody else for a long time. Damian Pierce for a lot. So, I don't know, man. I just really think they need to get somebody else in there too, man.
That was the most frustrated we've heard Bobby Slowick. He's always controlled, and he was under control. It wasn't like he was yelling and screaming, but you could tell he was like, yeah, I've answered that one already. Yeah, it's the elements. Yeah, it's we've had our days. He said that a couple of times, like, the offense, we've had our days.
Yeah, no,
he was ticked off. Like, the defense, if you weren't listening earlier, three interceptions at least. One of them a pick six off of C.J. Stroud by Derek Stingley. Another interception by Derek Stingley. Another interception by Kalen Bullock. And then he also talked about Tank Dell. But he was – I think that was about as frustrated as he could get.
Yeah, hopefully the offense responds to that, man. Hopefully they pick it up and keep it going.
What do you think about – like, if Tytus Howard is out, let's say, until the regular season begins, all of a sudden your whole confidence level goes down a little bit. Or does Blake Fisher make that better?
I think it depends if Blake Fisher actually go out there and do something where it's like, okay, like, Tytus could take his time coming back. Mm-hmm. Then I would be a little more confident. But if that's not the case and Blake Fisher look like a rookie,
yeah,
then I'm a little nervous, man. And I'm kind of looking at Tytus Howard like, man, like.
See, I'm worried about, not worried, I'm because I think it's going to be out there. He's injury prone.
100%.
Right?
Yeah, I think it's fair to call him that right now.
Yeah. Yeah, who
right
knows?
He been missing a lot of time, man. And if he missed time, if he don't play week one and miss more time than that, yeah, man. Blake Fisher was the right mm-hmm. was the right draft pick, and
yeah,
I don't know if we can really depend on Tytus Howard
mm-hmm.
just health.
Well, right now
health
you can't.
Reason. Yeah,
health like reason. Like right now you just can't. And no matter what he's looked like, he's got some sort of injury. I wouldn't expect him to practice tomorrow minimum, and then if it's more serious, then all of a sudden, you know, we got to start making those adjustments.
Yeah, and that kind of make Laremy Tunsil look a little good too, because the Texans might consider keeping him even longer and having Blake Fisher
certainly sitting out.
Yeah, yeah. So Tunsil, that's not looking good for
him. All right, confessions next, and something about like we're gonna have some confessions. One about this Texans team. But Figgy brought up something that I have a huge confession. It's the most frustrating thing there is when it comes to binging a show. What show are you binging right now? Because I'm binging one that is frustrating the hell out of me right now. That's next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now. Watch this.
These are my confessions. All right, I see you, Matt Burke. We're going to hear from Matt Burke here in about 10 minutes. He was asked about what we've been wondering at the safety position. Right now, let's get to confessions. We'll share that with you in just a little bit. Watch this. All right, so we knew this was happening. Charles Barkley's not retiring, after all.
Of course.
All right, but here's where it gets fun and interesting. And I think it's hilarious and awesome at the same time. So Charles Barkley, apparently Warner Brothers Disney is, after next season, is not going to broadcast any NBA. We've all heard that story. But Barkley is in. Now, obviously, he's done some March Madness before, which they do broadcast that. They also do Major League Baseball and college football. So he's on a 10-year, $210 million, whatever it is, contract. Charles Barkley's going to do baseball games. Charles Barkley, he's going to do baseball games. Like, they're not going to wait. They're not going to spend all that money and not put Barkley on college football and Major League Baseball. Can you imagine? Could you imagine Charles Barkley, like, in the postseason, like, they go to the studio or whatever, or he hops into the to the booth, and he's talking like about Altuve and all this, you know, Otani and all this stuff. He's talking Major League Baseball.
I would like to see that.
I would love to see that. I am here for it.
I'm here for it too.
Because he ain't doing NBA and he ain't going nowhere. He's not going to retire after all. So yeah, Charles Barkley, you know, like, I'd like doing a college football game in studio.
That would be fun. It would be even better to see him call his old school, like Auburn.
Auburn, yeah.
That would be great, because I think he liked college football too.
Oh, so. And you know, I know he loves college football.
Yeah.
But MLB?
Yeah, that would be,
I mean, they're going to use him at some level.
I would like it.
Yeah.
I would like that type of stuff. Watch this. Man, so I got a card in the mail yesterday, and it was from Urgent Vet in Katy.
Oh, I got the same one.
Yeah, so I was looking through the mail.
Why'd you do this to me?
Hey, I was looking through the mail, and I seen it. I'm like, oh, man. So I showed my wife. She started bawling,
yes,
crying.
Yes.
And mind you, she bawling, crying, opening it up to see. So it was a nice little car. Shout out to Urgent.
It mentions their name too.
Yeah.
Like, I know what you're talking about. Stanley was due for something.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh man. So she opened the car, she crying, and it's a little black envelope right there.
Yeah.
So she crying, digging through it. I'm like, Christina, stop it, man. I'm like, dang. And then she, you know, she was bawling so much she couldn't even see what was in the envelope.
Yeah.
So I'm like, give me the doggone envelope. Yeah. I'm like, stop crying. And so I'm digging through it to try to see what was in the envelope. And as soon as I dug in there, she was like, it's his fur.
Oh.
So they sent me a little piece of his fur in the black little envelope.
You got fur?
Yeah, they gave me a piece of his fur.
I got the footprint. And I got
that too.
And I got the ashes.
Yeah, I got the fur. And I'm just like, God, dog, I'll be damned.
Yeah.
So I had to walk away. I'm like, oh, why they do that? I don't really do good with death, man.
Yeah.
To me, like, I'm the type of person, I don't want to see anything else. Mm-hmm. I just want to move past it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, they sent me his fur. I felt like, I know you never seen Paid in Full,
mm-hmm.
but it kind of reminded me of the scene in Paid in Full where they kidnapped his son and or his little brother, and they sent this finger in the mail.
Oh, God.
So I'm thinking like, man, they sent my dog fur. I'm like, man.
I thought you were talking about, because after we got his footprint, his paw print, and the ashes, like about a month later, we got a card from the vet, and it said Gibson is due for his Provecto.
Oh, okay. Oh,
whatever.
No. Oh no, I didn't.
That one got me.
Oh really?
Like,
oh,
they're like, man, it's due. It's time to bring Gibson.
That might
in.
Be worse.
Oh, just that might kill be worse, me, man. Just.
Yeah. Yeah, I still get like emails from like Wolfgang,
mm-hmm.
like, hey, it might be time for another grooming. And I'm just like, oh man,
oh, that's the worst.
Yeah, wait, real quick before you go to the next one, I guess it was ironic too, because yesterday when I came to work, the security guards downstairs, there's one that know my dog.
Yeah.
And so I haven't seen him since, you know, Stanley passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So every time he see me, he be in the hallway like, where he at? Where he at? Where he at? And I had to tell him that he passed away, and he was so heartbroken.
Oh,
man.
My God.
I was just like, dang.
It's the worst, man.
It's bad.
It's the worst.
Rest in peace to Stanley.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
So since y'all are talking about dogs, man, I don't want my dog to go just yet.
No, nobody does.
I've had her for about 5 years, and she's the sweetest thing ever. And just thinking about everything that y'all have talked about, I can't imagine myself like, being in that position just yet, man. Like, it's just, I might have to call off work for a while.
You're never
man.
Ready for it.
Yeah.
No.
I actually talked to our assistant brand manager, Laura,
mm-hmm.
and I told her what happened. She, do you need some days off? She was ready to give me some days off, and I was fine. You know, I was good to go to work and all that stuff. But for a long time, I always joked around like, hey, it's going to be that time, man.
Yeah.
Like, he ain't going to be around forever.
Yep.
And I was just wondering how everything's going to be. And it was a running joke in my family like, oh, Figgy going to take it the hardest,
mm-hmm.
because he the one that loved the dog the most. And truth be told, it was my wife that took it the hardest.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even bring his name up or anything. And she'd just get to crying. I'm just like, oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm like, why they had to send that letter?
It's the worst. It's the worst.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
All right, so the cool thing about today's television viewing is like somebody can tell you, hey, you got to watch this show. And you can just binge watch it. You can watch all the seasons, you know? And so I've done that several times. But the most recent show that we binge watched, it's called Trying. And it's on Apple TV. And it's about this couple trying to adopt, and it's really funny. It's a comedy. It's a drama. It's really, really funny. But here's what they don't tell you that was so freaking frustrating. So we binge watched 4 seasons of Trying. We got to the final episode of season 4, and we think we're all caught up. And there's like 3 major cliffhangers at the end of season 4.
Mm.
And I'm like, man, I can't wait. When's season 5 drop? When's season 5 drop? So I start searching on Google. And it says, they have not yet renewed Trying. It may not be renewed for another year.
That's
it may not be renewed.
Oh,
it's
man.
Like there are 3 or 4 major cliffhangers in this. Like, dude, if I'm going to binge watch a show, at least tell me that there's going to be a final episode. Not like it's the worst. I'm like, now I'm in my head like, okay, what happened to this guy? What happened to that girl? Did the mom come back? And blah, blah, blah. It's the worst.
The worst thing is sometimes that, I mean, that happens a lot where mm-hmm. a show don't come back.
Yes.
Like it's over with.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And now you just got to use your imagination to see what happened.
Yeah, you just got to, it's a whole bunch of what ifs
yeah.
going forward.
But, and these are big ones.
Yeah, but I got a confession that kind of ties in with this too.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
So I guess, not Game of Thrones, but the House of Dragons just had their season finale. And mm-hmm. Chris, I don't know if you a fan of it.
Oh, yeah, I am.
Okay, you could probably weigh in on this too, but I got to confess, I love seeing people pissed off at season finales, man. I seen so many people just like, man, this suck. Man, they always do this. I love seeing people so mad, especially with Game of Thrones and House of the Dragons. Mm-hmm. I love seeing people saying, oh, this finale sucked. And then on the flip side, I see other people saying, it was a good finale. They're just setting up for the next season. I love seeing people mad at the way season finales end. And on top of that, this kind of tie into something else too. I love seeing people pissed off playing video games.
Yeah.
Like I see a lot of people playing college football and they throw like their fourth interception and it's a pick six and they just like throw the controller or they just quit in the middle of the game. I just love seeing people frustrated like that.
I actually kind of do too, especially if I'm not in on the series.
Yeah, yeah.
Like exactly. If I'm in on the series, then I'm disappointed.
Yeah, I'm not in on the series at all. But Chris, was it a good?
Yeah, I was going to ask.
Was it good or bad? How you feel about the season finale?
So I enjoyed it, but I was mad. I was mad because the way I guess they did set it up for the next season, but it's just like at least give us a little bit of what we're gonna see, like just a little bit. But they didn't get. They gave us nothing. So whatever, man. I'm just looking forward.
I watched that show House of Dragons one time, and I was up here for Hurricane Beryl, and the boss lady. They set up a whole little watch party in the live lounge, and I watched it was one of the episodes where it first started getting. I guess. I don't know if it's episode 5 or 4, but mm-hmm. that's when all the action started happening. Mm-hmm. And afterwards, they was all discussing it like, yeah, so this team only had 2 dragons left and the other team had 3 dragons. I'm just like, man, what is this corny crap, man? Oh, I can't get into it, man.
It's
I'm
good,
sorry.
Man. It's good.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay, man. Yeah.
Oh, man.
These are my confessions.
Not necessarily a confession. I'm just following up. A lot of our listeners were like these cliffhangers. Like apparently Pinky Blinders also hasn't been renewed or left on a cliffhanger. Star did presume. I didn't watch Presumed Innocent. It's supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah.
Yeah, but it hasn't renewed?
So they did renew for a second season, mm-hmm. but I think the way they doing this series is it's going to be a whole different plot. Like,
yeah.
I don't even know if the same actors and people going to be in this season too. It might be a whole different situation. I think they end it on the right turn. I don't think they going to pick off from season 1, but I think it's going to be a whole different situation.
And I just realized, because somebody mentioned this, another one that ended on a cliffhanger and I still haven't seen that it's going to be renewed is The Righteous Gemstones. And that's a really popular one. John Goodman and others. And it ended. Like I got I guess from now on, when I start binging a series, I just started Your Honor yesterday. That's going to be...
I told you about that three years ago.
You told me about it. My daughter-in-law told me about it. So yesterday, after we got pissed off about trying, I said, screw it. Let's just start another one. So we went with Your Honor. We just watched one episode. That thing better have an ending because I'm going to be ticked off.
Yeah, so season... I ain't going to spoil it for you, but I was watching this in real time.
Mm-hmm.
And the way season 1 ended, I'm like, what in the world? And I heard it wasn't going to be a season 2. So I'm like, oh, I can't end like that. But end up getting a season 2. So it was good. I think you'll like it, though. It's a really good show.
The first episode was like, holy crap.
Yeah. that was one of the only shows I was watching in real time. Like, I had Showtime. I'm like, all right, 7 o'clock. I think it came on 7 to 8 o'clock our time. I'm like, well, I'm sitting here watching this.
Well, now, so they did renew.
Yeah, yeah.
I ain't watching Your Honor, the rest if they don't renew it.
Your Honor?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's only 2 seasons.
The whole thing?
Yep, that's
it. But there's an ending?
Yes, an ending. All right. So I think a lot of people saying they could make another season, but I think it ended right. I'm fine with the ending.
All right. So, hey, man, Matt Burke is talking about something that we've talked about a lot. Yes, the safety position. He had a lot of questions, and we're going to hear them next on In the Loop with Figgy Fig and Chris Santiago.
Live from the Twin Peaks studio, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
Having a good day, man. I'm loving this. You having a good day?
I'm having a great day.
You having
day.
A good day, Chris?
Great day, great day.
Great day, great day. Matt Burke had a good day. Matt Burke.
Give me some juice, baby.
Matt Burke gave him some juice today. Texans defensive coordinator. We're going to talk about the safety position because it got real interesting. And Matt Burke, right off the practice field, was asked about, obviously his defense had a terrific performance today against the Texans offense. I'm not worried about the Texans offense. I'm more encouraged by the Texans defense. But he was asked specifically about the safety position, Jalen Petrie, the whole nine yards.
It's too pretty to a lot of rumors that you get out there. But I'm just curious, what do you think about...
I don't listen to any rumors.
What do you think about the safety room? Are you pleased with where you all are at right now?
It's been great. I actually think Jimmy's had like a really good time up here. Just starting to sort of show up and sort of impact plays more. Petrie's been really good. Like, it's just the same thing. I mean, I know I feel like I broke a record sometimes. Like, the depth that we've had. You know, Kalen's been had a pretty good game on Thursday night and has really shown up, like, ranging the ball and playing more physical. And then the kind of two vet guys we have in the room with E. Murray and MJ, like, man, we've been mixing those packages a lot, again, trying to get guys in different spots and trying to get guys against different competition and whatnot. So I don't know what rumors you're talking about, but, like, I feel really good about our depth, and all those guys have been kind of growing in what we're asking them to do. And, like I said, I feel like even a guy like Jimmy, like, is starting to, like, sort of show up. You know, I feel like he's kind of a forgotten man sometimes. So Jimmy's been making some plays the last few practices and starting to kind of – he's on the come a little bit. So feel good about where that whole group's working.
All right, cool story. I'm not saying it's an inaccurate story. I wasn't being facetious there. Obviously, Jimmy Ward has got some pelts on the wall. He's been playing pretty dang well here lately. But we heard the rumors.
Yeah.
Like yesterday, Benjamin Albright, who is plugged in with Denver, you know, he's had some other stuff that maybe makes you raise your eyebrow. But in terms of football and stuff, he said that that Justin Simmons has had contact. Well, he expected Justin Simmons to sign in the next day or so, which would mean today or tomorrow or soon, with an AFC South team. Well, that kind of narrows it down. It's either the Texans or the Colts, and you were all over this too.
Yeah, so once Tennessee signed Quandre Diggs, that's when I was like, all right, y'all, I'll do what every fan do in the comments, announce the Justin Simmons to the Texans trade. So that's what I did, and it seemed like after that, it just went crazy, man. We talked to Jonathan Alexander of the Houston Chronicle yesterday.
Yeah.
And I had asked them, like,
well, let's hear it.
Yeah, are they comfortable with this safety room?
I think given what they've seen from Kalen Bullock, for that reason, I don't think they'll go after Justin Simmons. I think he's out there, and I think he's an option. I do think if somebody were to get hurt in that safety room, that he could remain an option as a guy that they could sign, because he hasn't signed with anybody yet. And I think he hasn't signed with anybody probably don't want to participate in training camp. You see a few guys who hadn't participated in few players. I'm not talking about Justin in particular, but few players enjoy the process of training camp. But I think that option is open, but I think right now they like what they have. They're healthy at safety. They got five safeties right now who will likely make this roster. Only four made the roster last year. So I think at this moment they don't need Justin Simmons.
See, I'm a little nervous. I think later on he ended up mentioning they have MJ Stewart.
Yeah.
They had Eric Murray. And he started rattling off some names where I'm like, man, I don't – like, I'm fine if you got a set, set duo at safety.
Mm-hmm.
But if I got to depend on these guys, I'm not sure about that, man. It kind of make me a little nervous.
No, it should. I all due respect, man, to Jimmy Ward. He's been like more than solid. He's been fine. He's 30. He's going on 33 years old. He will be. No, he just turned 33. Happy birthday in this month. So he's 33 years old. All due respect, all due credit, terrific NFL career, playing good football, knows the D'Amico system, been there forever, all that. But are we that confident?
Yeah, see, I'm not that confident. Mm-hmm. And I know Eric Murray was solid. He was okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we got a bad little taste of Eric Murray because of that contract B.O.B. gave him.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't know about just leaning in on MJ Stewart and Eric Murray like that, man. I think we got to get somebody else in there.
Yeah.
And like I said, if D'Amico Ryans is comfortable with that defensive back room, I'm cool then. I'm good. I trust D'Amico.
Absolutely.
But just rattling off those names, like, hey, they got this. They got MJ Stewart. I'm just not sure.
Well,
about
we
got to
ask
man.
Ourselves this.
I can't say that with a straight face.
We got to ask ourselves this. Yes, ultimate confidence in D'Amico Ryans. Ultimate confidence in Matt Burke. You know, he talks about Jimmy Ward didn't get a lot of credit. Matt Burke doesn't get a lot of credit because it's D'Amico's defense and D'Amico calls a lot of plays. But Matt Burke is out there. You know, we heard Bobby Slowick talking about, you know, some days Matt Burke kind of runs the defense. Some days D'Amico does. And Matt Burke ran the defense today and they kicked butt. Yeah. So he doesn't get a lot of credit. So as much as we trust D'Amico Ryans and Matt Burke and this defense, you got to ask yourself, Is Justin Simmons an upgrade? Even though these guys are playing well, even though you try, yes, he's an upgrade. Yeah. He's an absolute upgrade. I mean, you look at these. He talked about five. Jonathan Alexander talked about five safeties could make this team. What's your confidence level in Jalen Petrie? What's your confidence level in Eric Murray? Jimmy Ward, again, with all due respect, MJ Stewart. Hell, throw Lonnie Johnson in there. Like, Justin Simmons would be an upgrade.
Yeah, yes. I agree. And, like, if Jimmy Ward was, you know, I think he's still good, but I'm a little concerned about his injuries and his age.
Yeah.
But if that wasn't a factor and if he was good and then Petrie was rookie Petrie right there, then I would be fine with this running back. I mean, this defensive back room. I would be fine with – you know, the MJ Stewarts and
Murray's. I'm with you.
But for the simple fact, we had questions about Jimmy Ward staying healthy and age. And then if Petrie going to bounce back from last season, then if that stuff don't work out, then we are depending on Eric Murray and MJ Stewart and the gang.
Man, don't forget, Jalen Petrie is going to play nickel.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care what the depth chart says. They might slide him out there occasionally, but man, they slid him out there a lot last year and they ended up benching him.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, like I trust you, D'Amico. I trust you, Matt Burke, but they know that Justin Simmons would be an upgrade. And he said, I don't, you know, pay attention to the rumors. Well, I mean, there's a pretty strong, you know, whatever you want to call it, rumor report from a guy that covers Denver. That's where Justin Simmons was. That he could be coming to the AFC South.
Yeah, and that kind of scared me a little bit, man. Because it was a lot of questions around the team in general, like the cornerback position.
Yeah,
and you know, I was okay with Jeff Okuda and C.J. Henderson coming in with Lassiter. Like right there, I'm okay with because you got Stingley and Lassiter been looking really good, but like if you told me that they were good at that position, I would be, you know, I wouldn't question it, but just this, you know, the safety position, I'm a questioning it a little bit. I'm a little nervous. I can't just sit there and be like, all right, cool.
No, you want
to worry, nothing to see here.
You want to be elite on this defense. This defense is looking elite. Well, okay.
Yeah.
If you're going to go all in, let's go all in. Speaking of the elite defense, Derek Stingley had himself probably his best day of camp, and he's had a lot of good ones.
Yeah.
So Derek Stingley looking like the Pro Bowler. Perhaps someday, if not this soon, all-pro type guy. Kamari Lassiter didn't play, but Derek Stingley sure did. He had two interceptions today of C.J. Stroud, his first two of the year of camp, and one of them was for a pick six. This was Matt Burke.
Yeah, I mean, I think Sting, I never like to say the best, but is one of the best ball corners in the league. Like, he's got elite ball skills. I mean, obviously, he's big and powerful. Like, he's always, you know, tight in coverage, but can go snatch it. You know, I mean, it's I think that's probably one of his superpowers. So it doesn't surprise me when he goes and makes those type of plays.
Damn. He wanted to say he's the best ball cover corner.
He should have said it.
He wanted to.
He should have put this on the table, man. say it with your chest.
Let me hear that again. Like, he wanted to say, yeah, he's the best at this.
I think Sting, I never like to say the best, but is one of the best ball corners in the league. Like, he's got elite ball skills. I mean, obviously, he's big and powerful. Like, he's always, you know, tight in coverage, but can go snatch it. You know, I mean, it's... I think that's probably one of his superpowers. So it doesn't surprise me when he goes and makes those type of plays.
Yeah, man. I said earlier, what if this defense is really, really good? And I think a lot of that hinges on Derek Stingley being that guy, the best ball corner guy. Now, he didn't say it, but you could feel it, and we can talk about it. What if he is the best ball corner in the league? That changes everything.
I think it's really possible, too. I think that's something he should have said with confidence. Mm-hmm. And I know he's being careful. Yeah, he's being careful.
Didn't want to put that target on him.
Yeah, but no, I think it's for real, man. That's the one person I'm super hyped up to see this season, man.
Yeah.
Him staying on the field and having an all-pro year, man.
Now, he'll be on the field Friday night.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I want to see if Lasseter gets healthy and is on the opposite side. Because they could make life miserable for old Mr. Unlimited. Is that what it was?
Unlimited.
Mr. Unlimited might have some limits. We'll see about that. Nah, man, it's exciting. And then especially if the bad news is, you know, of course, that there's been some limitations on the defensive side as well. Some guys that haven't played, didn't participate today. But you're going to see most of them. You're going to see most of them. And if he's that guy, it's going to be really, really fun. Because if the defense is really, really good, the offense we know is going to be really good and won't have to carry as much of a load.
Yeah, and that's a great thing for C.J. Stroud in that offense because it's going to be some times where they might not be clicking early. Mm-hmm. Maybe try to figure some stuff out. But if that defense is dominating – then that's a good thing, man. I want to go cliche, but, you know, defense win championships.
Nah, man. I mean, there are you're you and those bells. Why don't you bring in a tambourine and we can go like full mega, you know, with a tambourine and whistles and the bells. And we got to get you a tambourine and a whistle.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. I should go over there and take theirs.
Oh, we can get their tambourine. Will Figgy have a tambourine? We're going to go around the NFL. And we'll see about that. Hey, man, speaking of around the NFL, we're going to start right here because Frank Ross was the other coordinator that came out today. And the new kickoff rules were kind of like a dud. But I think that might change. We're going to see what Frank Ross says next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.